Good morning, listeners. Welcome to the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show, Bunker Edition. Good morning, Marissa. How's it going, fam?
Oh my gosh, amazing.
It is going amazing. I know it's Earth Day, and I know here in Southern California, we have been blessed with some rain this morning. So the gods, they have thought about us. So Mother Teresa, thank you.
Mother Teresa, why Mother Teresa? She's not the Earth goddess.
Well, she's going to be close around there, right?
No, she's never mind. We're just going to keep it moving.
Okay,
so obviously, Chris is not Catholic. Chris is not the Catholic. Let's just put it that way, okay?
Facts. That's facts. That's a fact. I tried, CCS fail. I tried. But hey, the party people, were up. We're early. We got a kick-ass show for everybody. But before I even announce our guest that's tuning on in live for the Chris Collins Show, we always like to do this because on this day in 1995, George Foreman beats Axel Schultz in 12 rounds for the heavyweight boxing title in Las Vegas. And on this day in 2019, Avengers Endgame premiered for the first time ever in Los Angeles, and the rest is history. There's the snap for you. But we got a great show because our guest that's joining us for Just Talking is director Tony Ramos and Bull Rider star Little Ricky to discuss their new documentary, Ride Till I Die. Also, don't forget to check out our Off the Fret podcast, more music talk, featuring the Phoenix Within. They are amazing, fam. And Marissa, I think it's time to rock and roll. What's good, listeners? Our guest on Just Talking is director Tony Ramos and professional bull rider Little Ricky to discuss their award-winning documentary, Ride Till I Die, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. How's it going, Little Ricky? I can see you right now, and I know Tony's coming on into the mix.
Yay!
How are y'all?
Hey, we're doing way good. I know the weather feels great in Southern California. I believe you guys are in Florida right now as we speak. Yes, is sir. Earth Day treating you guys just as right?
Yes, sir. It feels pretty good. Pretty windy.
Actually, I'm in Toronto, Chris.
Oh, you're in Toronto. Right,
so awesome. You're freezing, and you have good weather, and we have good weather.
it's not that bad.
Tony be in his own realm. Hey, but before we begin, that's the beauty about the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. We are a video on-air production, so let's do our due diligence. Let's go ahead and show the CCS family what's good by playing the teaser of Ride Till I Die right now. So if you got it, Marissa, let's
I'm looking.
Roll
Hold
the
on.
Clip.
I do have it. Here it is. Yay.
All right, rock and roll. Let's show the CCS family what's good. I'm telling you, fam, with that teaser alone, it is just intense throughout the whole documentary film. And Little Ricky, I got to start it off with you first because, you know, when I look at the slow-mo shots of all the bull riding, my nutsacks hurt, okay? Do you have balls of steel?
You just pretty much try not to think about it. I mean, the fear is always there. You just got to shove it out.
You got, well, what do you mean by shove it out? Your balls don't technically just get to shove it out.
I mean, it's just something you got to get by. It's just something I guess you learn at a young age, you know?
Hey, Ricky, if you don't know, Chris has soft, like really soft balls.
Wait, that sounds so strange.
He wouldn't be able to handle it. He doesn't have man balls.
You cannot just go live on air and start spewing all that nonsense, Marissa. Well, me and Little Ricky are trying to have a legitimate conversation about balls.
About
bull riding. Because, you know, Little Ricky, I was watching one of Tucker Carlson's original, and he was talking about testicle tanning, okay? I don't know if you heard about this, but what's more painful, testicle tanning or bull riding?
I would say testicle tanning. I don't know. That seems pretty rough. I don't know what that is.
I think that is such a fair, legitimate answer. I think you nailed it right on the top of the show. But hey, listen, for anybody who has never, I just had to say that was on my mind. It was just so weird how both of us just happened to line up, and it was your Friday that we got you on, little Ricky. But
Chris, if you guys are going to talk about balls and testicles, can I hop out for a couple of minutes?
Oh, trust me, Tony. We're going to.
Hey, Tony, if I'm stuck in here, you're stuck in here, homie. Okay.
All right. It's not what I signed up for, but
but hey, you know, for anybody who's only ran or rode a mechanical bull and has never ridden on a live 2,000-pound bull, what's that feeling like? Can you describe that to the CCS family?
I mean, a mechanical bull is a whole lot different. You know, it's a lot slippier, I'll tell you that. There's a lot more grip on a real bull. It's a lot different. I mean, your mindset's whole different. You get on a mechanical bull, you already know it's not real, you know? You get on a real bull, you fall off. You better get up.
You better get up, yeah, or you're going to get bucked real quick. And I know that your father, Ricky Ringer, throughout the documentary, he kept saying that time slows down when he rides that bull. I have hard time believing that. Do you feel the same way as your father?
It slows down, but it's still fast. It's still really fast. I mean, it happens like that, but it seems like a lifetime. I mean,
do you hear the horn after the 8 seconds when you're riding? I've always wondered that. Like, do you actually hear it, or are you just so zoned in you don't know if you really made the 8 seconds or not?
No, you do hear the horn a lot of times. A lot of time too, as you like get on a lot, you'll kind of know too. You kind of get this instinct where you know when you've ridden them long enough.
You
hear the horn.
Yeah, it was important to me to get the POV of the rider, so we did strap a GoPro on Ricky on one of his rides.
And
you see that shot where it's very shaky, and I've had people tell me, oh, that shot's really shaky, it's kind of nauseating. But I'm like, yeah, but that's what they see. And I asked Ricky, we talk about, is that pretty much what you see? And little Rick's like, yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's like your brain's like a little dice, and it's getting rattled up in the brain. That's practically what I'm seeing.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to show to the viewer. I'm like, this is their point of view. So you find it nauseating. Just imagine being on a bull.
Absolutely, yeah. Tony. And while you get it to yourself, I know you strapped the camera onto the bull, but you're not riding the bull, Tony. So how did you get into the mix?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I knew nothing about bull riding. I watched a PBR here in Toronto one time, and I just got interested and intrigued. And I've always wanted to do my own film. And for some reason, I'm like, there's got to be a rodeo in Florida. So obviously, I looked it up and I found one. And I just went from there. I was just intrigued. It sucked me in. I'm like, these guys must have a story. And Ricky fell into my lap. And Ricky's story is phenomenal. He's a great person. A lot of people, they rooted for him. He's a real person, right?
Yeah. And that's for listeners, that's you're talking about Ricky Ringer Sr., right?
Senior,
Ricky
yeah.
Junior, senior, we have on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we had Senior as a main character and then Junior following his footsteps. So it came together as a great story. And I just love the behind the scenes footage that we shot at the rodeos. I thought it was great.
Okay, so I'm a total fan, so I do watch bull riding. I've seen your father, Ricky, riding bulls throughout the years. And then when I actually sat and watched the documentary, I loved the behind the scenes, all the stuff that me as a spectator, especially because I watch it on television, don't get to see. And I loved it. So just pass on that I'm a fan.
I'm not doing it.
But hey, you know, Tony, because you know, it was my understanding that you've been in the whole film industry for quite a while now, and I noticed you've been working kind of a lot of behind the scenes, but you decided with Ride Till I Die that you wanted to direct and produce it. And for anyone who doesn't understand the gruesome task of, you know, doing a documentary film, I mean, how many hours of footage did you have to look over? Because this seemed like it was a 5-year span to make this film happen. I mean, could you explain that with the CCS family?
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, because it was my own project and I had no deadlines, I took my time. Plus, I was on other projects. Sometimes I took a couple months off the project altogether. So it's not like this was my only project and I had a deadline. So, but with that being said, because I decided to edit it on my own because I just didn't have the paying editor, it was long and gruesome. And it's just, there's so many hours of footage. I couldn't even tell you how many hours exactly we had, but just to go through all of it and then do the selects and pick your shots and then put them on a timeline. And then you're just flipping and flopping. Like the timeline, the edit changed so many times, obviously, right? And then finally when it's like, hey, this story seems like it's progressing, it came along naturally, but it did take some time. I couldn't even tell you how many hours of footage we had or how long.
Well, I mean, people need to realize, and I'll give you guys a visual representation for all the party people that are listening in with little Ricky and Tony. You know, when you see an external hard drive that a director like Tony Ramos has been using, you would think that that's a MacBook Air. That's how large these freaking things are. These things are large memory blocks and all the kind of backup data that you got to go through. And when you are a film director, Tony, you kind of execute and you oversee the creative vision of the film. And when you're recording, let's say the good, the bad, the ugly, because there are some gruesome shots in there, I would feel kind of nauseated standing next to little Ricky and Ricky Ringer themselves doing what they do best. How do you approach this fly on the wall aspect?
Well, it's funny because I didn't really have a game plan going in. We just went to the rodeo and we're like, okay, let's just shoot it. And the first night went horribly wrong. We did basically nothing. And the second night we're like, okay, we're a little bit better. But once we got to our second location in West Palm, I had a game plan set. And that's why the first half of the movie, most of it's from West Palm Beach. The behind the scenes stuff, it was 3 days of rodeos. And that's when we got most of the stuff. And I got the hang of it of, here's what I need. Here's who I need to mic. Here's who we have to follow. So it's to say that it was thoroughly planned out, that's totally a lie.
Well, hey, I think that's kind of the beauty of the mix. But your film is so elegantly edited and directed. So shout out to you, Tommy, because I think
yes. Did you do the musical scoring also?
Yeah, well, actually, my DOP, Edward Ryan Funk, Ryan.
Wow.
I want original music, but again, I can't afford to pay an artist. He said, I have a friend, David, who's a folk singer. He's got some music. You want to hear it? And I thought, folk singer for a rodeo? Like, that's just ridiculous.
Right.
We're on our way to Inverness to shoot with Ricky in 2017. And I popped the CD into the car. And right away, the first song is the main theme that you hear in the film.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's really well done. When people watch it, the music, it sets the tone, makes the emotions. Like, I was like having hyperventilating on certain parts. I wanted to cry. I was like, oh, so well done.
Yeah, and when I heard that song, Chris, right away I said, hey, man, this is the opening. And right away I could visualize the opening scene back in 2017. And then I listened to more songs and I went to Ryan and said, can I talk to David? Because I want to use his music, but is he okay to loan it, kind of thing? Because again, the payment's not there. This is a very small budget. And when I said, Tony, go at it. And there was 8 songs I chose. And a couple of them were cool. Some of the words played along, too, with what Ricky's emotions were feeling. And I just thought, well, it was perfect because everyone expects, you know, rodeo, cowboy, Western music, you know.
Right.
I was like,
Thank God for Blake Shelton.
No, I went the exact opposite. Yeah. I think Marissa, like you said, I think the folk song played nicely to his emotions.
Yeah.
It just was the exact opposite of what you expect from a rough and tough cowboy. So I think we've gotten plenty of comments about the music, and I've always thanked David, and I still thank him to this day.
Oh, it's so killer, Tony. And you know what, little Ricky, let me get you on into the mix because, you know, people like myself who ended up watching Ride Till I Die watch cowboys like yourself and think you guys are totally freaking insane. And why would you even want to follow in your father's footsteps to be tossed around like a rag doll? Tell me where your mind process was at.
I mean, I really don't know. Dad didn't want me doing it at first, I guess, because I remember this time he made me get on about 15 head of calves one day, trying to kill me off and trying to make me not want
want the pain.
This sounds like an American Habib story.
When I want to do it the next day, you know, it's just, I don't know. I've had big injuries. I've broken ribs and everything. It's just.
Okay, I'm going to talk about broken ribs real fast. I just popped out my first rib last week, and I died. I just popped it out, let alone broke it and kept riding. How do you keep going with a broken rib? That's all I want to know, because I'm dying.
You just go through it, you know?
Yeah, come on. Don't be such a pussy,
Marissa. It becomes your job.
Yeah, come on.
You sound like such a wuss.
Hey, first off, I'm way tougher than Chris, so if I'm in pain, he'd be in the hospital.
I got balls of steel, okay?
We're not talking about your balls again, Chris.
Okay, sorry. All right.
Thank you, Tony. I need you to moderate this show. Yeah. Thank you.
No more balls talk.
But like Little Ricky, we've all seen, you know, Jackass with Johnny Knoxville get flipped by the bull. Not once, but twice, but three times, but four times. You remind me of like an American Habib. You know, like we all know, seen Habib in the UFC when he used to wrestle a bear. You're jumping on calves thinking that that's your, you know, your prodigy step to start riding a 2,000-pound bull. So with that being said, we've already heard that Marissa's kind of a wuss. But I want to know from you, Little Ricky, what's the most gruesome injury you've ever experienced in this sport?
Me, I mean, I've only had a few, luckily, you know.
What does a few mean? I feel like you're being very sarcastic with that response.
Less than 10.
But... yeah, exactly. I've never broken a bone, CCS family. I've never broken a bone once. And he's saying, oh, just a few, 10.
But my I guess my worst one was probably when I was 14, 15. I got on a practice bowl after finals, and he was a little bit too rank for my caliber then, and he stepped on me and broke my ribs and collapsed my lung.
Okay. And at the time,
I broke my shoulder. You and just I said something.
But you just said practice bowl. What the hell does a practice bowl mean compared to a professional bowl? Is it 500 pounds less?
I mean, same thing. It's just you're not getting on for no money.
It's entertainment. I know that in that part of the movie, we're like, oh, this is our entertainment. He's just gonna ride a bull for fun. Yeah. I was like, yes.
You're not paid. You're just doing it to learn.
How awesome
right,
is that?
Right, right.
Awesome.
But there was a moment that Tony captured in the film that I thought was so great. I mean, you boys were talking about with your father about how what it means to be riding Gumpy. Like, what does that necessarily mean? And how much upper body strength do you need to be able to go on a bull? Because I'm sure there are people going to be looking at you, Little Ricky, going, oh, come on, I can do this. I'm so yoked out. I got all my beautiful IG photos, you know, in the gym. I can make this happen. Explain to the listening audience how much strength you got to do to be able to ride a bull for over 8 seconds.
I mean, you do need strength, don't get me wrong, but it's not all about strength. A lot of it comes from balance. I mean, it depends on your riding style, you know. I mean, you do need strength, that's your riding style. I mean, if your riding style ain't strength, you can be really weak, you know.
You need forearm strength.
Yes, a lot of forearm strength.
So, Chris, you'll be fine because you use forearm all the time.
Oh, hell yeah. My left hand, that grip. Woo-wee. But, hey, Tony. I know, Tony, you're shaking your head. But, Tony,
like,
yeah.
Out of here.
Yeah. No, Tony. No, now we're throwing it back to you. Okay. Did you ever get the chance to say, hey, listen, Little Ricky, Ricky Ringer, I've seen you guys for a while now. I kind of want to use my upper body strength. I want to ride the bull. Did you ever test your skills?
No, I'm not stupid. And I remember Ricky kept bugging me. He's like, we got to get Tony on the bull, Tony on the bull. And I always said, you see this pretty face? Not getting on the bull.
Yeah, you see, he's got, yeah.
You
got
disappoint
nice
me, Tony. I thought for sure you'd have a couple, you know, Coors Light in you and just jump on that bull.
Coors Light. It'll take about 35 Coors Light for me to get to that level.
If you drink 35 Coors Lights, that's how you become a cowboy. Almost.
Yeah.
There, almost there. But Little Ricky, it's my understanding that you're not currently bull riding as we speak. Why the sudden switch up?
I mean, I don't know. I've just been, bills and life's been catching up, you know.
Is it this pandemic that's kind of kicked you in the tush a little bit?
I mean, kind of, yeah. And everything's going up in prices, you know. Like, it's getting hard to going up and down the road.
And explain that for the – yeah, go ahead, Little Ricky.
Not winning, you know. When you're going up and down the road, you got to be winning. If you're falling off and stuff, that money has to come from somewhere. People don't just give you money.
So, Little Ricky, here's some words of advice. Get a sugar mama. So. All right, that's going to pay for all your bills, and it's going to allow you to go ride those bulls, okay?
Sounds like have Marissa's a good seat. Kind of at the
no,
top
he does
here.
Have a good seat. I watched you in the film. Like, you have it. You have a natural talent for it. I think you should keep pursuing it.
I know. I need to. I'm not done with it for sure. I'm just taking a break.
Okay, because, yeah, you just kind of got to exactly what I was thinking about, because I know Tony documented this so well in the film, but, you know, he was talking to your father, Ricky Ringer, and, you know, he kept saying, I don't know if this is it, and then all of a sudden he changes his mind. I don't believe by talking to you right now, Little Ricky, that this is your last hurrah. So when the opportunity comes knocking, are you going to be taking the ride?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, I got on last month. You had a rodeo, a local rodeo. It's just an itch you can't help but scratch. You got to scratch it. Even Dad, in the movie, he says he's done. He still gets on.
Nah. No, Ricky's not retired. Who are we kidding, right?
Yeah,
I expect to see Ricky next year at PBR. I expect it. I know.
For anybody, you know, because I sort of kind of skipped on it a little bit, but I kind of want to get in the minds of a bull riding star. Like, when you're doing these bull riding events, it doesn't seem like it's just, like, local. It's only not statewide. You got to kind of branch out what it seems like majority of the East and the Midwest on a level. I mean, are you going, like, state by state, monthly? How does that work, these events?
When I turned 18, I started going out of state and everything. That's kind of how you got to do it when you are being a pro bull rider. You can't stay in Florida and make it. You gotta leave. You gotta go out west where the bull riders
are. Is that you in those pictures behind there?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I love it.
Look, he's so damn polite. Look, you know what, little Ricky, you might have a sugar mama at the end.
I know. Hey, you keep saying yes, ma'am, honey. I might have to fly you out to L.A.
All the ladies here that are tuning in live. I mean, little Ricky, who knows? He might keep you on the roster. But
hey,
you know
if he can ride a bull, he can ride a woman.
Woo!
You know what I'm saying?
Damn, we like that. Ooh, damn. I never even thought of it like that. I might have to start pursuing some bull riding as we speak. I can't thank you guys enough for joining us for Just Talking on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. Tony, let the people know what's good. Where can they check out this film, Ride Till I Die?
Yeah, it's available on demand. You can see it, you know, Apple TV, iTunes, Prime, Vudu. Also, broadcast providers, Comcast, Spectrum, Cox. All the info is on the website, RideTillIDieFilm.com. Just go on the website on the main page, list all the providers.
That is so freaking kick-ass. I love it, guys. It's award-winning documentary for a reason. Ride Till I Die, out now. Check it out. Guys, thank you again for joining the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
Thank you so much.
Guys.
You're so wonderful. Thank you.
This is What's Good, because there's so much negativity on channels 2 through 11, so Marissa and I, we like to break the mold and let you guys know what's good. And on Wednesday, April 20th, Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation announced that the late, great Eddie Van Halen left a 7-figure donation towards their organization that helps get kids music education in schools throughout the United States. So Eddie Van Halen has spent over a decade maintaining a close relationship with MHOF, and it aims to help students develop a love for playing music. This has been something that always gripes me like crazy. I know that there has been an attack on recreational education here in America, and I've always felt that when you play music, it's been very therapeutic for myself. I mean, the fact that you get to walk away from the screen, get to actually learn something, you know, it's a hands-on experience. And the fact that once you start learning these fun basic chords, power chords, single note progressions, I mean, the fact that you get to start doodling it and doing it yourself, I think is so powerful. And I think if we can get more kids into the mix, I think would be such a beautiful thing.
Well, and I read this great, I don't remember where I read it, so who knows, right? Don't know how real it is, but I know they talked about suicide rates within children and depression, right? And this is like that middle school kind of time right there. I think that's what they were looking at. And they saw a direct correlation when arts was taken out of the programs, that depression, suicide attempts, you know, issues within school and at home really exasperated. So I think we need to make sure, just like sports is a necessary within our school. I'm a big, big fan of sports. We got to keep music. We got to keep the arts, painting, acting, whatever it is, because not everybody might be as physically inclined, and maybe they want to create something, or maybe they want to do both, but we have to give them that outlet.
Well, I think every student needs a reset button. And I've always felt like with these kind of classes, these kind of courses, able to kind of recalibrate the student's brain for a good 40, 45 minutes. So just relax before you get into math class. Because I always felt it was daunting to walk into that classroom after PE. So, so you can only imagine when you get that reset button. This is such a powerful thing. And thank you again, Eddie Van Halen, for your encouragement of having
amazing man
play music.
Mm-hmm. And he's amazing, man.
Super amazing man, Marissa. And I know who is also amazing is Tony Ramos and Little Ricky for joining us as our guests on Just Talking. If you want to check out their film, Ride Till I Die, it's available practically.
I don't think Tony was ready for our sense of humor. I got to say, Little Ricky rolled with it. He was there. I love Tony. He was game for everything, but he was like, wait, what's happening?
Hey, Tony is an amazing soul. I mean,
he's great. No, he's great. But I know know we get some guests on here like, wait, we're talking about testicles? We're talking about what happened?
Hey, well, get ready. A new generation's coming on into the mix, and we're here to stay, damn it. But hey, we got to give the CCS family what's good. Our next week's guest is going to be
Henrik
the Wreck. We all know him. He's our CCS video game contributor. We're going to be talking about everything that's happening in the video game industry. And if you haven't seen Henrik the Wreck's vlogs that we've been promoting on Instagram and also our TikTok channel, if you haven't followed us there, go ahead and start following us now. Chris Collins Show. He's blowing up.
No, they're good. I don't really play. We all know I don't play video games. I like to watch, right, versus the participation. And he makes it so easy for me to understand who's not in that world. And I laugh. And he's really good.
It's so really kick-ass. Good. So you guys are in for a great show next Friday. And if you like what you're listening to, go to thechriscollinsshow.com and become a member today and get that free CCS t-shirt. For now, enjoy the weekend. Be safe, fam. And we'll see you next Friday.
But what about when is that next podcast being dropped again?
Okay, well, you know, we could tell them again. It's dropping on Friday at 12 p.m. Cannibal Kids, don't miss it. Damian Gutierrez sits down with both Marissa and I for one of our best episodes to date. So keep a lookout for that. The Chris Collins Show presents Music Storm 2021, hosted by Chris Collins and Marissa Pitts, featuring Tiana Kutcher. Some daggers wear red. Flash upon flash, nothing shows a scandal. Desmond Walker.
I wanna see the world with you.
Doulos. Saturn Till June. YT Will.
It feels good to be the bad guy. Walk these shoes, you'll see why. Look at things from both sides. Ain't nothing like the
Easy Main.
One thug, Lord, show a little mercy on one thug.
The Phoenix Within.
There's more weight in my words than you give me.
Chloe Wilder. Jonas and I.
Has been riding on tonight. The Aurora down.
Came.
I am the South. South, run that in my mouth.
An Animal Son.
So tell me how. Do you see reasons to carry on?
Music Storm 2021, available on YouTube Live. Peace! Our brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
I love it. It's more time to chat.
Hello.
You look so jazzy.
I love your outfit.
How far would you go to start playing live music again?
This slaps harder than my ex when she got her stimulus check. So, are you here to bring the sexual healing with your music? Oh, everything is everything, and I guarantee you're going to hear this song in the future. I love the flow, man. Politically charged album. So, if you get easily offended, this might not be the album for you. Brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
So excited.
Has Kim Kardashian accidentally sent you a coochie shot?
Do you want to stay there? It's completely your choice. Or you want to...
I feel you. And you know what? I love it. Off the Fret. More music talk. Peace. What's good? I'm Chris from the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show. The Phoenix Within, a rock project hailing from Queens, New York, released their long-awaited full-length album, Overdue, joins Off the Fret. More music talk.